This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Even before President Trump was sworn in, environmental groups in the Great Lakes region and elsewhere were watching closely and raising concerns about appointments to key positions. Now, with some mixed messages, including a threat to cut federal funding for Great Lakes restoration, some advocates are looking to the states to protect the Great Lakes. Dave Dempsey is currently a policy advisor to the Traverse City-based Group for Love of Water, or FLO. His long career in conservation and Great Lakes policy includes serving as environmental advisor to Governor James Blanchard in Michigan. Dave Dempsey is the author of 6 books on conservation and, I should note, holds a bachelor's degree from Western Michigan University. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
As we sit here and talk right now, how important would you say federal funding is to the Great Lakes?
Well, it is very important. It's been the catalyst for some major improvements and restoration efforts in the Great Lakes over the last 8 years. I think a lot of good has been done with the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. But I also think that states, including Michigan, have a responsibility to invest as well.
How much, you know, can the states reasonably do given that, you know, the federal government has, you know, more resources, more money? Most states have a requirement to balance their budget. You know, are the states in a bit of a tighter spot if they're going to fully fund programs in the Great Lakes?
Well, when you drop a budget, you have to choose priorities, and you invest in things you care about and you don't invest in things you don't. So I think the states have to reshuffle their priorities if they truly value the Great Lakes, and nobody more so than the Great Lakes state. It's struck me that Michigan and other Great Lakes states have been saying hands off to the federal government in terms of taking our water and shipping it elsewhere, and yet want federal dollars to protect the Great Lakes. I think that's a little inconsistent.
If the states are going to make up any cuts in federal funding, assuming they come at some point, should there be some coordination amongst the states themselves to make sure that the burden is evenly spread amongst states which have a stake in the Great Lakes?
I think that makes sense, and there's a precedent. Back in 1988, Michigan voters approved an environmental bond that included $25 million for a Great Lakes Protection Fund, and each state of the 8 Great Lakes states contributed to that fund according to the percentage of the watershed that they have within their boundaries. So, of course, Michigan contributed the most. The total raised was $100 million, and that's been put into an endowment that funds some Great Lakes projects. So I think the states ought to coordinate again. But in terms of a more of a spending program, a direct spending as opposed to an endowment fund.
Does that also, though, complicate matters that you have to get all the players at the table, get them to agree to, you know, X, Y, and Z if you're going to make it happen?
Well, it could. I'm not saying necessarily that Michigan should wait for Illinois, for example, to spend some money or commit some money to the Great Lakes before it does. I guess what I'm really saying is that the states ought to proportionally invest within their own boundaries in the Great Lakes. So Michigan should not wait for anybody else to take the lead. We didn't before, and there's no reason to now either.
One of the things you say on your blog is that advocates should be agitating with the legislature to pass a $2 billion clean water bond on the Michigan ballot for November of 2018, or to place it on the ballot for 2018 and then let the voters decide whether or not to approve it. What would that do?
It could do a lot. It depends on how it's designed. And I want to point out the history of water bonds in Michigan is very strong. We've had 4 environmental bonds since 68, 2 of which were devoted entirely to water and the other 2 of which were partially devoted to water. They all passed by 60% or more margins. In the case, what we need now really is a fund to do several things. We need to continue investing and upgrading our municipal sewage plants, which are in many cases getting to the end of their design cycle, their lifespan. We need to also invest in our drinking water supplies. The Flint catastrophe is unique in what happened there to lead contamination, but a lot of our drinking water facilities need upgrades around the state. And we also, I think, need to put some money directly into Great Lakes restoration, habitat, cleanup of sediments, control of invasive species, and so forth.
You noted that these have been put on the ballot before. They've usually passed with a comfortable margin. Do you think that would likely be the case again, assuming, a competent campaign is run and properly funded, that sort of thing?
I think so. You know, times have changed maybe in the sense that people are a little more skeptical of bonds or spending, but the advantage of a general obligation bond is that it does not raise taxes. It essentially puts first claim on existing revenues to pay off the bond over 20 years usually. So it's not a tax increase. It's essentially committing a share of the state budget for up to 20 years to do some good things right now that will have long-term benefits.
So as of now, we don't expect that to be on the ballot in 2018. Maybe that'll change, but we do know that 2018 will be a pretty big election year. Michigan's going to elect a new governor. Of course, the state house and senate are both up. There will be elections in other states in the Great Lakes region. Do you see Great Lakes issues getting a lot of play in the campaign leading up to November of next year?
Yes and no. I'm a little skeptical because throughout my career, I've continued to hear from pollsters, especially that environmental concerns are very high on the voters' list and that environmental issues are going to be a make or break for candidates. It's almost never worked that way. Environment is something people care about, but it's usually the economy number one and then other things, and then environment is down the list. On the other hand, environment is kind of a voucher for a candidate's character. People want to know if, in Michigan at least, if the candidate cares about the Great Lakes. So I think it kind of is part of the portfolio, but not a decisive factor. But I do think that, in particular, statewide candidates for governor, attorney general, the other offices, need to take leadership on water issues. It's part of our identity.
You noted to Great Lakes Now that the federal government is always kind of susceptible to a big change when there's, you know, a new administration. That you get a new group of people who come in, they have different ideas, maybe view climate science skeptically, that sort of thing. Are the states somehow insulated from that or more insulated from that than the federal government?
No, I don't think they are, except in the sense that a bond issue, as I've been saying, is a long-term commitment. Once the voters approve an environmental bond, a water bond, you can't go back and say, well, we're not going to pay those bonds off. That would destroy the state's credit rating. But it would also break faith with the voters who supported it. So that's one of the reasons I think a bond makes sense, is that it locks in a long-term funding commitment to these things that our politicians say are very important.
So why do you think that's not getting a lot of talk right now? I haven't really heard anybody bring up the idea of putting a bond issue up before voters next year when, you know, some of the things you spell out there, it's passed in the past with, you know, pretty comfortable margins. It seems like it would, you know, address a lot of these concerns. Why do you think it's not getting much conversation right now?
I think because there's so many threats that people in Lansing are dealing with, in the environmental community at least. I mean, you've got, as I think you well know, there's rollbacks on invasive species, ballast water control. There's a bill in Lansing to prevent the state from adopting environmental standards that are stronger than the federal government. There's a lot of defense going on, and I think it just takes, if people can find the time in the environmental community and hopefully the business community to start articulating a positive agenda, maybe that can get some traction. Right now, it's all trying to hold on to what we've got.
You recently wrote about Governor Snyder's legacy. He still has about 14 months left in office. And, of course, you noted that he, like other governors, said that he's not worried about that. He's just doing his job. But let's take your two arguments here that you make in this blog post and we'll run with them. One, that he is concerned about his legacy, as most politicians are. And that two, that his legacy could end up being tied to the environment. How much can he truly alter the trajectory of his legacy between now and January 1st, 2019, when he leaves office?
I think he can do a lot to take the bad taste out of the mouths of people from what happened in Flint, not to slight the long-term harm that's already been done to those folks, their health, for example. I mentioned in the post, or at least in other writings, that most governors during their time in office are held accountable for the economic performance of the state. But sometimes in the long term, something else is remembered. And that's the case of Governor Milliken. He left office when Michigan was in a serious recession, a near depression. Not his fault, but still, that's where we were. But I think people have forgotten that, and most who think about him are thinking more of his environmental legacy. You know, responsible for a number of our laws, from our clean water laws to our wetlands protection. So I think historically that a governor can be remembered more for those things that endure than for those things that happen when they leave office. And I hope Governor Snyder sees that. Now, he's done some things that suggest a strong water interest. He had the state DEQ develop a 30-year water strategy, for example, but there's really no funding to implement it. This bond could help do that.
If Governor Snyder were leaving office right now, what would be his legacy? Obviously, Flint would be a big part of it, but if you step back and look at his overall environmental legacy, how would you summarize it? Again, if we're talking right now and not theoretically about what he could do between now mm-hmm. and when he leaves office.
Well, obviously, Flint is a major stain on that reputation and legacy. Otherwise, environmentally, I'd say he hasn't done harm would be his legacy. I don't think he's significantly worsened our position or undermined our protections, but I really don't think he's shown leadership.
As you look around Great Lakes states, do you see any sort of movement that indicates that, maybe not just Michigan, but beyond Michigan, you know, the other states in the Great Lakes region, that there is this feeling that leadership has to come at the state level because the federal level at this point is basically, you know, going to take a much more hands-off approach, if not a more hostile approach than was taken during the Obama administration or even George W. Bush's administration?
Unfortunately, I think, in answer to your question, I think, and more generally, I think environmental issues have become really partisan. And the state that I think is doing the most on environment in our region is probably Minnesota. I lived there for a while, and there's a Democratic governor, and for a while there was a Democratic legislature, which did some really innovative things to strengthen environmental protection. One of those, by the way, was a voter-approved tax increase for the environment, 25 years, which was approved in 2008, and it's going to continue until 2033. So there's $300, $400 million a year for the environment there. Other governors, and it's mostly Republican governors in our region, really haven't shown a strong interest in the environment.
What do you think could change that?
Boy, that's a difficult question. I mean, in my dream world, voters would demand stronger commitment from our political leaders on the environment. But as we just discussed, it's not a top-tier issue for most. The other change, which we'd all, well, at least many of us would like to see, is a rebirth of the moderate wing of the Republican Party. It's easy to forget that the U.S. EPA was created by Richard Nixon and that significant environmental gains have been made under some Republican presidents. The first president, Bush, in 1988, actually came to Michigan during his campaign and made the initial promise of any president to start dealing with climate change. And that's sort of forgotten. That's almost 30 years ago, but I can recall it. So if that wing of the party takes hold again, that would be, very desirable because we'd like to have the two parties competing to see who's strongest as opposed to who's weakest on the environment.
Dave Dempsey is currently policy advisor to the Traverse City-based group For Love of Water, or FLO. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate it.
Links to Dave Dempsey's website and his blog can be found at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.